This week, my guest is a radio and TV legend. He's a comedian, first and foremost, really. That's where it all began. A presenter, a broadcaster, and a major lover of wine. Please welcome to Boxed In the incredibly funny Merrick Watts.
Oh, it's great to be here, Fief. And unfortunately, I'm sober. So
It's Sunday afternoon.
I know. It's not far from knockoff. So at about 6 o'clock, I'll get straight onto the Reds.
You should. Well, look, we've got a lot to cover, and there's so much I really want to let people know the real Merrick Watts, where it all began. It's going to be This Is Your Lifestyle chat.
Oh, God.
But let's start with wine because Grapes of Mirth, this is such a fantastic idea, and we want people to head to grapesofmirth.com.au. How did Grapes of Mirth come about?
Oh, look, honestly, I spend a bit of time in the wine regions of South Australia. I've got friends who make wine, and I'm a drunk. And it just kind of occurred to me, wouldn't it be great to host comedy in vineyards and around the wine regions? And so we started about a year and a half ago, and now we kind of do it right around the country. And it's just a comedy lineup that goes kind of all day. It's a comedy event in a winery. So depending on whereabouts it's staged, we've got one coming up in Canberra, one in King Valley in Victoria, and one in Orange in New South Wales.
It's such a good idea. It's in fact genius in many ways.
It's great. I know. You know what? It's so simple and so basic and so clever. And everyone just goes, "You came up with that idea, Merrick?" And I go, "It's really not that hard." And they go, "We know it's not complex, but we're still surprised you came up with something even remotely clever." Nah, look, it's the easiest of things to come up with.
Boxed In with Fifi Box.
This is Boxed In. I'm Fifi Box, and my special guest this week is Merrick Watts. Now, Merrick, when did you realise that you could actually make a career in comedy? I mean, you were obviously the class clown.
I've heard you speak to Peter Hellyer and other people about this. Yes, I was the class clown at school, and I wasn't the class comedian. I was never that formative. I was just an idiot at school, and I was expelled from my school after repeating year 11. That's right, I repeated year 11 and then was asked to leave because they thought that two was better than doing it three times.
Complete school? Have you not done year 12?
No, I did year 12. The funny thing too is I was talked to, when I finished year 12, I finished with such high marks after being expelled that I was talking about getting a scholarship. There was an opportunity there for me to take a scholarship after I finished year 12 because I got like straight A's in a lot of my subjects.
You were quite smart.
A smart dickhead is what I am. A smart fool. A smart idiot.
Now I'm not surprised that you came up with grapes and comedy.
Well, see, that's it. Chase the ball long enough, bound to get a kick. And eventually I was going to come up with a good idea. When I kind of realised I wanted to do comedy, I was about 19 or 20 years of age, and I was just drinking beers with my mates and not really doing very much with my life. I was billed as labouring at the time. Yeah. And my brother just said to me, I was at a party once, and my brother just said to me, he goes, "People just stand around listening to you talk." He said, and I said, "Yeah, that's because I'm highly entertaining." And he goes, "You're a tool. Why don't you stop just doing it at barbecues and go and take this on stage?" And that's when I went and started doing stand-up.
And then, okay, talk us through the very first time Merrick Watts stood on a stage with a microphone in front of a crowd.
Star and Garter Hotel in South Melbourne in 1994, I think it was. And it was, strangely, I had like a 5-minute spot, and I was pretty nervous about getting up on stage for the first time. But because I'm such a fool, within about 30 seconds, I was so in love with myself for talking into a microphone. I went, this can never stop, ever. So the nerves I haven't really had them since. They've gone now because that's how maladjusted I am mentally.
When I get to know you, you're Merrick and Rosso, when did you and Tim, how did that come about? Because to go from giving it a shot on your own to the next minute one of the most powerful comedic duos in the country, what's that transition?
Well, I was always a fan of Rosso. So I bumped into his band really late night one night. He was in a band called Black Rose, which is a comedy piss take band. And they were playing at a club, and it was really late at night. My brother said, "You've got to see this band. They're playing downstairs. They're hilarious. They're called Black Rose." And I went, "Oh, I don't know." And he said, "One of the guys is wearing moon boots." Remember moon boots?
Yes, yeah.
Like, it was such a weird thing for anyone. And I went, "I've got to go and see this." I went down. It was Rosso's band. He was the front man. And I saw it, and I just thought it was the funniest concept that I had seen. It was so original. It was so unique. And I became an instant fan. So I was actually kind of like a fan of Rosso's band and his other comedy work before we became mates and we started working together.
To then go to that next level of working with someone someone, did you find you were an easy team player? Because I've, you know, I speak to a lot of comedians, obviously they're mates. That can be quite hard to work apart, because it is, as you said, you need an ego and you need a healthy one, and you've got to share that and balance it with someone else. How do you do that?
Well, Rosso, see, that's the thing, is I carried a lot of the heavy weight when it came to having an ego. I reckon I was doing probably about 145% of the work, and Rosso was chipping in with 55%. Look, I think Rosso and I were always very, very complimentary. You know, we have a great shorthand, which we still have now. We were in a studio just about a month or so ago, and it's like a hand and glove sort of situation. Whenever we're together, we just become Merrick and Rosso, and it's very, very easy. And there's a great shorthand and an ability to not have to talk things through so much, or you know what it's like, Fifi.
When you've got that, when you get that shorthand with somebody, I get it.
Boxed In with Fifi Box.
Welcome back to Boxed In. Merrick Watts is my special guest this week. You're also a great family man, and you love a family road trip.
Sometimes with my own family. Sometimes I like to take my own family. Sometimes others.
What's Merrick as a dad like? What are your kids? Are you crazy dad? Do you ever help Georgie out and get strict, or is that not your territory?
No. I'm actually strangely very disciplinarian because, you know, I was pretty wild as a child and obviously had behavioural issues. And my poor parents, I don't know. Seriously, they should have just sent me to the farm with a Labrador. Just going, where's Rusty and Merrick? Oh, they went to a farm. Oh, they must be very happy on that farm. And then you find out Rusty and Merrick got shot. No, it's got a bit weird there. I think I'm a pretty good dad. I spend a lot of time with my kids, and that's trying to compensate for my own, parental issues from my childhood. You know, I had a pretty kind of distant relationship with my father when I was a boy. And so I spend a lot of time with my kids. I love them. I coach my son's footy team. I spend a lot of time with my daughter doing things that she likes to enjoy, like cooking and going shopping, which I hate.
Yeah, but you do it for her.
Oh, I love her. I love her. I love her tiny little face. But when we're in the car and, you know, we're on a road trip or something like that, it's the Watts family. We call ourselves the Griswolds the Griswattses, because once we're in the car, we all just become the Watts family, and people who know us know exactly what that means. It means that we're dysfunctional.
You are also incredibly disciplined when it comes to body transformation, Merrick, because your commitment to that overhaul that you did, was it a year ago now, or is it 2 years?
A year and a half ago. Yeah.
Amazing, you've maintained it. Like, it's very easy to start doing Insta photos that maybe don't have your whole body in it, but you are absolutely committed. How have you done that?
Look, you know what it is? It's about setting yourself a goal. Once you reach that goal, you just got to try to maintain it. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I've had blowouts. I was about 96.5 kilos. I got down to 84 when I did the men's health thing, and I felt great. And it's 2 years or 2 and a bit years on, I think. And I weighed myself this morning, and I still weigh about 84 kilos. So I'm the same weight
as
I was.
Amazing.
Yeah, but Fief, 2 weeks ago, I was hardcore on the grogs up in the Barossa Valley. I reckon I ate every cheese product there was known to man. I could not get enough carbs in my fat face. And I blew out to about 88, 89 kilos. But I got fatty again. And then I just... But the thing is, you know those disciplines, and you know how to kind of, you know, get back into shape. Yeah. So I'm back to where I was, which is good. Plus, Fief, let's not lie. We all know I've had a heap of jabs in my face to make me look young. I went down to the chemist and I said, give me 2 Shane Warnes to go, please. And took them home, jabbed them straight in my face, and that's why I look so young.
Radio, television, stand-up, presenting. What do you love? And maybe is there a medium in the public eye that maybe doesn't really inspire you? Like telly? Like, did you enjoy telly?
I enjoy it all. And what I've kind of realised, you know, having some time out of radio for the last 9 months and working on Grapes of Mirth, is that what I've come to realise is what I love is actually people. That's what it really is. So, you know, I really like television when I'm working with people. I really like radio because you're constantly talking to people, working with people, and you're around people. And, you know, with Grapes of Mirth, it's literally, it's just comedy, wine, and people. They're our three kind of pillars. And we just bring those three things together. And that's what I love. I just love Australians. I like people.
You do.
I'm very needy is what I am. Incredibly needy human being. So anything where I'm talking to people or hearing great stories or sharing, I love.
Boxed in with Fifi Box.
G'day, it's Merrick Watts here, and I'm boxed in with Fifi Box.
I'm genuinely intrigued by the comedy landscape at the moment and where we're all at culturally, and that is with political correctness, because it seems like as a comedian, you would have to be second-guessing yourself constantly.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? Because it seems like so much is off the table now for a comedian.
Yeah, look, that's a very good question, Faith, because I think that, you know, if you're not inherently an abhorrent person and you're not racist and you're not sexist and you're not, you know, a bigot, then you'll be fine. But one of the things I have noticed in recent years with comedy, which I do think has had an adverse effect, is that people are thinking too much about it in the space, meaning that when they're in front of a microphone on a stage and you're ad-libbing or you're freestyling, you're kind of out there, that feeling is electric. That is the best feeling you can have as a performer, is that kind of like playing in this, you know, electric field. But then what happens is that your mouth is going and your brain's working at a different pace.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, hang on a second, is this what's coming out of my mouth? Could this be misconstrued as being bigoted or offensive? And so what you do is you're self-filtering whilst you're on stage in a way that I don't think people probably did a few years ago, and certainly they didn't do it in the 80s.
Yeah.
I think there's now that kind of like, as you're saying it, you're thinking, hang on a second, will this be taken the wrong way in a way that you didn't 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
Oh, no, totally. I think it could destroy the art form, because I can't, not only, even you think about this, you're having a ball up at, you know, Grapes of Mirth on the Barossa, and you're just having, and someone's got an iPhone out and they've recorded you saying something.
Yep.
And you've got to be aware of what can then turn up online that maybe you hadn't met. But I agree. I think comedians second guessing or overthinking, that'll ruin it.
Yeah, but Fifi, you'll be in the same position with radio.
Totally.
I mean, you can still have dump buttons and stuff like that, but, you know, you're having a good time with Fev, you've got a guest in the studio, you're having a great time. You're in a conversation, you kind of forget where you're at because you're enjoying yourself in that space. And then, you know, but at the same time, you are filtering. Hang on a second, am I offending anyone by saying this? You know, because there's so many filters that we have to run through now.
I can assure you, Mez, that in this hour that we've spent together on a Sunday afternoon, you've done nothing to offend, nothing that you need to regret. In fact, I've loved every minute of it. Allowing Australia to get to know you a bit better, and why not join Merrick Watts at the Grapes of Mirth. You could be at any destination around the country.
Yep.
This is growing and growing. Go to
grapesofmirth.com.au.
Get around Merrick, one of the true legends in this industry. Thank you so much, Mez, for your time.
Thanks, Fief. We're going to go and drink now.
Okay,
bye, Australia.